This is Toon Talk Weekly, episode 256. This week, Brad and I find ourselves drilled down to the center of the Earth when we watch an episode of the Disney XD series, Billy Dilly.
So there I was with the world's two best lab friends ever.
Lab partners.
Have you ever wondered how holes get into cheese? Well, I know we have, right, guys?
Yes! I guess so.
I present to you as our entry into this year's Gumbridge Johnson Middle School Science Fair, the Cheeserator. It's the world's first and possibly only manned cheese aerator. It's for really big cheese.
They just keep getting better. Yeah. Ah, boy.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Toon Talk Weekly. This is the weekly cartoon podcast where we talk all about cartoons. Well, not all cartoons, but eventually someday we'll get to every single one of the cartoons. It's just inevitable at this point. I'm Jake Williams, brought along my good friend Brad Chmielewski to chat cartoons this week. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, dude. Another botched intro, but you know, what else is new?
Yeah, I don't think there's any way we could ever get through all the cartoons. There's new ones made quicker than we can even make podcasts.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, I feel like lately we've been in this habit of, like, you and I want to watch new-ish cartoons that are coming out, and even that feels kind of hard to keep up with on a weekly cadence.
Like, even this week, I thought this cartoon was newer, but, like, you found out it was, like, a year old.
Yeah, kind of crazy. So this week's show is all about the 2017, at least it's down here, it's 2017 series, Billy Dilly's Super Duper Subterranean Summer, hereafter referred to as Billy Dilly, because that's quite
simple. Are you just going to put it in the sidebar as Billy Dilly? Because that would be probably way too long.
That's a good question. I might just put it in as Billy Dilly on our overlay, if you guys are watching the video version over on our YouTube page. I put the whole thing in there, but I was like, man, that's just such a mouthful. It's so crazy.
Or even on the website, you know, we got that huge list that you can scroll down. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Billy Dilly's Subterranean Summer Adventure is pretty long.
I think most people refer to it just as Billy Dilly in passing, because that's the way to, like, be able to handle it.
Yeah, on the streets, you know, everyone's like, oh, you seen that Billy Dilly?
Well, honestly, it made me think of the Bud Light campaigns, right? The dilly
dilly
is like the new thing, which of course this is for kids, this is not Bud Light. However, dude, there's a scene in one of the episodes where, like, their reward for the end of the day in Billy Dilly is like a case of soda.
Yeah, Krug soda.
And I was like, man, maybe it's because the wife's been watching a bunch of like food documentaries recently, that I was like, there's so much sugar in that soda. I was like, what are you kids doing? How are they advertising this?
As you're drinking a Radler. As I'm drinking a Radler. There's so much sugar in those sodas.
Clearly I've been affected, yeah. So Brad, how did you come across the show? Because this is something I'd never heard of, but you seem to have a pulse on some of the Disney XD stuff.
So I had heard about Future Man, and that's on Disney XD. And there's a lot of people that worked on, or who are currently working on the new Thundercats, and they have worked on the Future Man show, and people who worked on Future Man have also worked on the space show we just watched, Final Space.
Yeah.
So there's some crossover there. So I was like, oh, well, what's this Future Man show? And so I looked into it. It's a Disney show. We'll probably get to it at some point. But then I saw Billy Dilly over there too, and I was like, this guy looks hilarious. I think we should watch this first.
I mean, he's like the Clarence of Disney XD. Wait.
Yeah.
Clarence is on Cartoon Network, right?
Yeah, that seems like maybe what they were hoping for with Billy Dilly. Like, he's smarter than Clarence, but at the same time, like, this goofball that you're supposed to love.
Right. Billy Dilly comes off, the main character is a seventh grader who is like obsessed with science and kind of learning. He likes that sort of knowledge bit, but he always found saying like so many situations, everything is fascinating to Billy Dilly. That's a word he uses a lot.
Yeah. Whereas
like Clarence is like a knucklehead problem solver. Like he's so thick headed about what's happening. He's just like, I don't know, I'm just going to solve it, even if it's dangerous, whatever.
Yeah, well, Clarence more treats everything as like, well, I want everyone to be happy and I want to be friends with you, so let's just take care of this. Where Billy Dilly's like, yeah, I just kind of want to solve this problem, but I don't really care about friends, but I'm just going to figure this out.
Right. Billy Dilly's more interested in the science. Clarence is like the humane, like he's got the heart, the romantic.
Yeah.
Making everything right.
I think, you know, if you think of the age too, I think Clarence is supposed to be in like early middle school, mm-hmm. maybe even like fourth or fifth grade. And Billy yeah. Dilly's supposed to be what, like young high school?
Yeah, like seventh grade, something yeah. like that. So, yeah, middle of middle school or so. So the series, kind of interesting, created and executive produced by a guy named Aaron Springer. Aaron Springer, I'm going to run through his list of credits here because this guy is a cartoon juggernaut. Like, okay. he's been part of and worked on a lot of series you've heard of, including Dexter's Laboratory, SpongeBob SquarePants, Samurai Jack, Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy, Gravity Falls, Wander Over Yonder, and the current run of Mickey Mouse Shorts. So,
jeez, okay.
This guy, probably, if you're in the cartoon community, you probably know of this guy's accomplishments because he's been on so many shows. So he actually created Billy Dilly here. The series aired on Disney XD, and as we mentioned, it aired for one season and 13 episodes. As far as I can tell, I thought it was new as well. But I've learned otherwise that it says 2017. If people know, let us know for sure, toontalkweekly@gmail.com. But I for a show that came out in 2017 and had a full season, you would think a second season would have happened by now. Like there would be an update on that.
Or there'd be talk about it, right?
Right. And this is coming from two guys who have not gone through the whole series to know, you know, I don't know, did they tie a bow on it or with the story or whatever, like to kind of end it, but...
Well, I watched the first episode and the last episode, so.
Oh, there you go. So that, do they escape?
They try to, and then, you know, problems arise and they have to stay.
Okay. I realize how vague do they escape is, but we'll get into kind of what that means here in a second. The series was actually first announced in 2014 as a potential pilot, so it wasn't until I think work began in 2016 on putting the show together. So what can you expect from an episode of Billy Dilly's Super Duper Subterranean Summer, even though I said I wasn't going to say the full title anymore? So the very first episode actually sets us up nicely, and it gives a lot of context as to why are they driving around a giant cheese drill? What would be the purpose of that thing? Essentially, the show follows Billy and his two seventh grade lab partners, Zeke and Marsha.
And friends.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Well, no, wait. He says friends, but they're like, no, we're just your partners. We got stuck together.
They become friends.
Yeah. And his pet rat is also there as well, Anaximander, which is a great name. On a summer vacation, they find themselves trapped in Subterranea Tania, is the name of the world, which is a strange world located at Earth's core. How did they get there, you might ask? Well, during science fair, Billy Dilly had a project called the Cheeserator. What this was a massive tank-sized drill that was its only purpose... was to drill holes in very large cheese.
Yeah, it was, his science project was to show how the holes got into cheese, but just for very large cheeses. I don't. But okay.
Hats off to him. He engineered this machine together, so it clearly worked out. It goes horribly wrong. He's showing everybody on the football field or whatever, like it cutting through this very large piece of cheese that I'm not going to question how it got there. And it springs up into the air and then drills down into Earth's core, and that's how they end up.
Well, that's because it got struck by lightning.
Oh, right, yeah. Of course, because that was bound to happen as well. So everything construes in the universe to put them down into Subterranea Tania.
Yeah, if it was going to rain, I probably wouldn't pull out my big block of cheese.
Yeah, also, didn't the drill have like a power cord?
Yeah.
It's not like gas. It's like
oh, man, he's just a kid. Come on.
I don't care if they ever come back to school. I hope he got first place for science fair. You know, like,
his teachers are probably like, thank God Billy Dilly's gone.
Oh, I bet. So that's essentially it. You're sort of thrown in this, I want to call it, like, it is a subterranean world, but there's very much a prehistoric feel to it, a dinosaur feel to it, just primordial beings and creatures that kind of live down here. I hesitate to call this, like, when I was watching it, I just felt like thematically, for some reason recently, I throw things into buckets. And when I saw them in this world that they end up in, the designs and how things look, I was like, oh, it's a dinosaur show. Like, I categorize it as dinosaur show, which isn't really the case. There is a strange group of beings that do live down there that aren't necessarily dinosaur per se, but they do maybe have like a little bit of a reptilian look to them.
Yeah, that's the first group they run into.
Yeah. So kind of interesting. Of course, the main characters you just mentioned, Billy Dilly, Zeke, Marsha, and Aximander, who is the characters you'll run across. Later, there's the tyrant of Subterraneatania named Count Raymond Wetcher. I can't remember. Is this the guy they run into in the first episode who thinks they're supposed to be an entertainer? I'm not sure if he came back. But there is an antagonist to the series, but that wasn't made very clear in the first couple of episodes. So Billy Dilly, super duper subterranean summer. We're going to do a couple episodes here. Again, guys, head over to toontalkweekly.com to see any episodes, including this one. Also, our YouTube page is over there. You can check out any Toon Talk Weekly episodes we've done video for, which is closing in on, I don't know if it's 100 yet. I think we're pretty close to 100.
100 videos?
I think we're going to be pretty close.
Oof, okay.
But hit that subscribe button to help us out, grow the channel. Talk more cartoons. And again, toontalkweekly@gmail.com if you want to let us know any cartoons you love us to cover in the future. Maybe some stuff unheard of that we should check out, because there's definitely always cartoons to check out. It's just finding the time. And of course, we love recommendations too, because sometimes Brad and I are just, you know, poking holes and stuff, like trying to, in giant cheese, trying to find a cartoon to watch. But yeah, Billy Dilly, man. So I caught the first episode, which is part A and B. So I think you and I can walk through that one. And then you caught the last one, which this show comes off as one that doesn't, there is maybe an overarching, a thread throughout it all, but the thread is really like, we just don't want to be here. We want to get out.
That's
what I gather.
When they get there in the first episode, he's like, how long is it going to take us to get home? He's like, well, it took me all semester to build this thing to get here, so it's gonna take me all summer, basically another semester, to fix it to go home.
Right. The first two episodes actually run together for me, maybe because I watched them back to back. I believe the very first one, the plot was them meeting this other group of people there, right? And the second one was them being trapped and trying to find their way back to the Cheeserator.
Right. So the first one really does, half of it is spent setting up like how they got there. What was this Cheeserator and where this Earth's core is, you know?
Yeah, really setting you up for the world. One of my favorite parts about the show is the music is really great. Adds a lot of humor to it, a lot of lightness and the feeling of these weird-looking characters, because Billy Dilly is a very round, plump character who always has his cheeks covering his mouth and he kind of talks like this all the time. Definitely a lot of weirdness to the show as well, but... Yeah. Essentially, the first episode is just that. It's setting up, how did we get down here? How long might it take to get us out? So it sets the premise for how do we, you know, what's the show all about?
Right. And it seems like Billy Dilly, he knows about this world. Like, it's almost like a conspiracy theory. Like, oh, yeah, there's, you know, cheese on the moon kind of thing. Oh, there's a deep layer of surface people that have... never seen the light of day, and here's all the species that live down here. It's like a story someone wrote, and Billy Dilly is like, I believe this, but I didn't think it was really true.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those, like, there's like a tall tale or something, and then Billy finally gets to see it, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the first things they do is come across this group of people, and I think Billy has like this great scene where he's rolling around in mud saying, like, this is how you greet people from... This is how the, like, Tyrannosaurus, whatever, greets people.
The Wormosaurus or whatever.
Well, eventually they come across this group of people and get caught. They get put in this, like, bamboo jail cell, very primitive, like, jail cart. And I was really confused because when I was scrubbing through the episode to make sure it was like the playback was fine, this was the first scene I caught. And there's a bit of musical stuff happening here where, you know, Billy's blinking is making a noise and someone's snoring and someone else is tapping on the side of the cage. And it turns into like this music thing that eventually gets the giant guard to start shaking his booty on over to the crate so they can steal the key from him, unlock it, and they make him dance in and like lock it and stop.
Lock him in, yeah.
So, it was like we talk a lot about suspension of disbelief in cartoons and things you just have to go out the window because of, you know, because cartoons, because it's animation. You can do what you want. I saw that and was like, sure. Yeah. That's the way I'd do it too.
Yeah, this cartoon, I think, even more so than just like you have to, whatever's going to happen. Whatever you think could happen, it's probably not going to happen because now you're in this magical land.
Right.
And they're going to always figure out a way to solve their problem, but it's probably not how you think it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. They do come across the like king of this group, and Billy is thought to be the entertainer. They had hired some entertainment to come and perform for this king of this tyrant guy. And Billy starts doing a comedy routine. They even quickly like set up a spotlight and a brick wall and like the classic like comedy club look. Hmm. And what does Billy do? He puts glasses on his chest and starts pretending that his
like belly button is a mouth, and he's he's basically a ventriloquist for his
belly button.
Belly, yeah. That does not impress the king.
It's not working. He even does like I'll drink water, and he starts covers himself in water. Something here does make the king laugh, and then what happens is that Billy goes over the top and says, well, you think that's funny? Get ready for the main event. And he goes full Gallagher.
Right.
He just starts smashing these primordial fruits everywhere, and they're having a great time laughing. Everything's going great. They're going to get out of the situation. Until the real entertainer shows up, who's like some guy from Brooklyn who's like, no, I got caught on the train. Like, I'm here. And they're thought to, now they're found out, right? They're going to get captured. But it's not until his two lab partners, Zeke and Marsha, that they end up saying, they start doing that like Tyrannosaurus call dance, which makes these people think that they are this other creature. And they're like, oh, they're there. Like, let them go, whatever.
Oh, they're that creature who's thought to have been extinct and we haven't seen any. And we have to let them live in their natural habitat. But we're going to keep an eye on you because if you turn out to be surface dwellers, you're dead.
Yeah, we don't want surface dwellers. And the final scene of this first episode is them kind of like around the campfire, using like leaves, these giant leaves as blankets and cover and stuff. And they're having like a bush fight or equivalent of a pillow fight. Mm-hmm. But very quickly they became friends. Like I think in this first episode, they dropped the like, oh, we're not just partners, we're friends. Like,
yeah.
So that was really fast. It's the second episode that's a little bit more interesting, which is they are just having a regular day. Billy's trying to kind of like figure out what to do, I guess, for the day. And they get captured by this giant, basically pterodactyl type thing that takes them up to this huge point on the nest and drops them in with a bunch of other skeletons. So they're like, how the heck are we going to get out of here?
Mm-hmm.
They end up building this crazy ingenious like helicopter thing out of like eggshells and bones and like whatever they were able to find.
Yeah.
They set it off for free and they forget to get in it.
Yeah. Who was his scientist? It was like Dr. What or?
Oh my goodness. So this is where I didn't know where the show was going. This entire episode, I think he's Mr. What's It or Dr. What's It?
Oh yeah. Yeah, but he's a TV scientist. He's basically a Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Yes.
But, like, weirder.
This is where the show kind of lost me. I already felt like this had a very SpongeBob vibe to the show. and being who's involved with it, I can totally see that. Where sometimes there's just weird for weird sake stuff, and maybe SpongeBob didn't get as weird until later episodes or whatever, but it had time to build up that audience before it started doing weirder things like the live action bits and the narrator bits and whatever. Dude, the live action guy who plays Mr. What's It on Mr. What's It's Kaleidoscope of Wonders TV show intro is terrifying.
It had a very Adult Swim kind of thing going on. Like, oh man, where's this? Like, when they showed that, I was like, oh yikes, where's this show gonna go? I'm like, are they gonna have this like real person pop out in this world?
I thought it was going there. It does not. We'll spoil it. But I thought this like live action dude was gonna show up. But this is like a 1 minute commercial for this like TV show. That's a guy. The best way I can describe it, you guys should check out the YouTube video for sure. But the best way I can describe it is balding guy, but also long hair, but just on the sides and a mustache. Mm-hmm. It's like it reminds me of like a Krusty the Clown or like some kind of clown person who should not be around your kids. It's, I don't know. It's just so weird.
That's it. We'll ask Mr. What's It.
Woo! Wait, who?
Here we go. This is Mr. What's It, the most incredible science and learning-based cable access TV show host in the entire metropolitan region.
Do you ever wonder what's it?
Mr. What's It does.
Mr. What's It?
That's right. And if anyone can get us back to the Cheese Raider, he can. Tickle, tickle, tickle.
But essentially, in this case, Billy has this doll of Mr. What's It. And he says, if I ever have a problem, I just ask Mr. What's It what it is that I need to do, and I get out of that situation. Because the doll has a pull string. And whatever he says, he just picks a word out of what he says. And he's like, oh, we should run. We should, you know.
Yeah. Trust your friends, or enjoy the day.
So the intro is well worth watching. So kind of crazy, but this sets them off on an adventure after they build the little helicopter, the gyrocopter thing. They float down. They land in this area of like thorns and brambles, where any sound makes these brambles like shoot off on them. They end up on a giant disc that falls down, and then they roll through a bunch of water and lava and stuff. One of my favorite stupid little weird moments is when he shows, they're like, oh, we don't know what direction to go in. He's like, that's okay. Mr. What's It has an authentic tiny little compass in his back pocket.
It's like, made of balsa wood and the craftsmanship is amazing.
And that was the big sell here, dude, where basically they said, oh, well, it doesn't look like it's working. How does it show the direction? He's like, oh no, it doesn't work, but the craftsmanship is impeccable. Like, all right, man.
He's like, be careful. It's a collectible.
Yeah. Zeke is so fed up with Mr. What's It, he throws the doll over a cliff. And of course, Billy, loving this doll so much, jumps down the cliff after him. It's like that adage, right? Like if your friend jumped off a bridge, would you do it?
Yeah.
Or whatever. And then suddenly this weird, gross-looking spider monster is attacking his two friends while he's off getting his doll. And it's not until basically it says, like, oh, you should trust your friends, or like go help your friends.
I think he pulled it and he said, Billy, your friends need you.
Yeah. Like suddenly he is a prophet, right? Billy does run over and end up saving them from this this spider. There was one thing here where I can't quite remember the context or like what the I remember the context, but I can't remember the names, but it's like one of those mishearing things. He's like, did you say two apes named Zeke and Marsha are doing a tango?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, your friends Zeke and Marsha are tangled or whatever. And then two apes show up and they're like, but we're doing a tango.
And we're Zeke and Marsha.
Yeah. So strange. They do get back. The end of the episode is essentially them using a bunch of spare parts to build housing, to build this crazy cool looking like clubhouse fort. I mean, this thing's got everything, man. A telescope. It's got cool parasol and satellite and all this stuff. So if they're going to be there for the summer, they might as well be comfortable, right?
Right.
So these are the first two episodes of Billy Dilly. It's literally like introduce you to why are they down here? Introduce you to some of the creatures and the characters you're going to come across in this world. And the second one is like, hey, what happens if we get lost from the only thing we know, which is this giant cheese reel? And how do we get back, right? So kind of interesting. That was a fun one. Brad, what did you learn from the final episode?
So the last episode, they're planning to leave. They're about to go back home. So, but first Billy has to charge the crystal to, I don't know, to make the cheese grater work. I don't know how he got this crystal. It probably shows up at some point. I think, you know, in the second part of one of the episodes, he like hit the ground and a bunch of crystals like popped out. So that was almost like a foreshadowing to, I think crystals are important in this world, but anyway.
Man, kind of like the girl's dad on Harvey Beaks, who like has gems or crystals or
whatever. Oh yeah. So he's charging this, but he built a contraption to do it like very, I don't know, not erratic. Like he's got to be like delicate with the charging process. Otherwise the crystal basically could explode. But he's also, they're going to have a going away party because they're leaving. And so at this clubhouse, at their house, all the friends are there that they've met in this place. And they're all like having a great time. They're having a party. They think it's just some sort of like, it's just regular Billy Dilly kind of party. Like we're having a great time. There's punch, there's chips and dip, blah, blah, blah. And Billy Dilly's so pissed that they're not sad he's leaving. He says like a line, I didn't really get it. He's like, it's not a goodbye party, it's a goodbye party. I was like, okay,
funny.
So he's all mad, and then he just gets all frustrated and decides to go finish charging the crystal and get out of here. But he does it erratically, or like whatever they say, and so he ends up charging the crystal too much and it sort of explodes, but it sends off this big wave of energy or whatnot, and then it cuts to outer space and there is a group of robot aliens who have been searching the galaxy for this crystal. And then they're like basically like, you know what, we should give up because we're never going to find this. You're like, all right, self-destruct sequence, setting it off here. This is over. Goodness. And then, oh, wait, sir, we have the crystals located in that tiny planet there in the center. And they show up in the planet. And basically enslave now Billy Dilly and all of his friends. So then there's whatever happens where they have to like escape, they escape, try to free their friends, they kill all the robots and everything, but the crystal is already like with their leader, and their leader comes down and he's not a robot, or he kind of is, but he's like a alien version of Billy Dilly with like a chrome head that has the crystal like screwed into the top kind of thing. So basically he makes a deal with Billy Dilly. He's like, all right, we're gonna fight. If I win, everyone has to be enslaved. If you win, you can leave. So then they fight. Billy Dilly loses, but then he accidentally kills the alien Billy Dilly, and everyone is free. But the crystal, I think, is gone or it explodes. So now they have to find a new crystal.
So they're stuck in the center of the Earth still.
Yes.
Gotcha.
I watched that episode first before I watched the, hey, what is this planet? And I was like, okay, sure. I'm just on board with this. So it was super confused. I was like, oh, man, they're already like going home. And this is the last episode. This is weird. But then all this stuff happens, and I'm like, I don't know who any of these characters are either.
Dude, I mean, by comparison, it makes the first two episodes look tame. Like, met a different race of these creatures who are super weird, and live action TV scientists, and a cheese drill into the center of the Earth.
Yeah, but the robots are just like, if you were to draw a robot, like default robot, that you would draw, that's what it looks like.
Okay.
But they were getting all mad because they like basically had to take care of their slaves. They're like, oh man, we gotta wash like their underwear and we gotta keep feeding them. This sucks.
Not so good, is it? Huh, aliens? Maybe that's why we haven't been taken over yet.
Yeah. They're like, yeah.
So much work.
It seems like they eat a lot. And, it's not worth it.
Well, it sounds like the show goes places. The thread is still clearly there of them trying to, like, maybe every so often or every few episodes working on, like, hey, maybe we could escape or whatever it is. I'd be interested to see if it was more like a journey to, like, learning about that crystal and then, like, getting further. You know what I mean? Like, a bigger build as it goes. But I still get the vibe that, like, the fact that episode 2 just talked about them getting back to the cheese thing but didn't even bring up what they went through the episode prior makes me think it's not, like, all that tied together.
No. Like
it's not A to B. You don't have to watch them in order necessarily.
Yeah, so maybe that crystal didn't even exist in the previous episodes for all I know.
Yeah. So, yeah, kind of an interesting show, Brad. What were your general thoughts about the show as a whole?
I liked it. I love the characters and, like, the look of it. It's really neat. But it wasn't Clarence. It didn't capture me the same way. I may still, like, watch more episodes, but I'm not, like, dying to, like, know what happens to Billy Dilly. I, like, kind of know what's going to happen. Well, I also watched the first and last episode, but I know the point of, like, you're going to run into a new creature. That creature is either going to be your friend and you help them, or they're going to try to eat you and you have to kind of defeat them and prove that, hey, we're okay too.
Right. Yeah. I feel like this fits somewhere between Clarence and Uncle Grandpa. Like,
sure. Yeah.
There's a lot of things that happen in here that are weird for weird's sake that just didn't hit for me. I'm not really sure what that is. Like, I just felt like, okay, you're just trying to, like, go for the weird thing here. It does do a lot of that thing that Ren and Stimpy did, which is, like, very exaggerated, like, poses and looking at stuff and sometimes, like, close-ups and things like that.
Yeah, where the close-ups are, like, a different, totally different creature. Like, they looked at, yeah. I think, reptile aliens at one point, and they look all cutesy from far away, but up close they were like, evil, I don't know, just frog people.
So there's interesting things going on here. The premise just feels like something you come up with and you're like, how do we get him to the center of the earth for the summer? Okay, did it. Like, it did. The fact that it was a cheese drill didn't necessarily matter. The fact is they drilled down there and they got there. But
right, but it's a cheese drill and he has a pet mouse. So he must like cheese a lot.
So I don't know, man. I think it's a good looking show. Again, I love the music in the show. That was something that caught my ear that I couldn't stop thinking about. It reminded me a lot of the happiness of, like, jaunty happy songs that you hear in, like, a Banjo-Kazooie or like a Donkey Kong 64, those old games. Same composer on both of those titles, but but still. So that was fun, but it just didn't hook me. I'm not sure what that is, and I think it's a thing I have where, like, if the main character, the protagonist, the hero is kind of annoying, I'm just not into it.
But that's, he's supposed to be annoying, right? Like, that's not even right. Like, that's a hard one to judge. Like, you're supposed to kind of hate him, but you kind of just, like him at the same time. And then you kind of, and you laugh that he refers to himself as Billy Dilly all the time.
Sure. I want to see the episodes where you meet, like, who his family is. Like, what is his dad like or his grandma like? You know, like, what are they also the Dillies?
Well, it's probably Bill Dilly and
Will Dilly and Millie Dilly.
Yeah,
and
Millie Dilly.
Yeah, we figured it out. So this is definitely fun to check out. Might check out and comment on later episodes you watch in the future. But, man, trying to piece together what happened between episode 1 and episode 13 is very that's a big leap. So we'll see where it goes from there.
But even on the website, it was episode 23 or whatever. So they broke it up into, I don't know, it was weird. It wasn't like 13. I don't know. It looked like a different number, but I could be totally wrong.
I wonder if they break them up by halves. I'm not sure. I didn't look into the website, but so that's going to do it for this episode. Let's get out of here. Brad, where can people find out more about you when you're not recording Toon Talk Weekly?
So you can follow me on Twitter. It's @brad. And then my blog is digitalhitchhiker.com.
Great. Guys, go check them out over there. You can follow me on Twitter @JacobWilliams. Of course, if you want more Toon Talk Weekly, we're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Google+. Just search Toon Talk Weekly. I'm pretty sure we have the name there. under everything. Yeah. So it's pretty easy. Our YouTube page, head over to toontalkweekly.com to see the video versions, and you can head on over to YouTube from there, and then hit that subscribe button, help us get a vanity URL so I can share it easier with you guys. Helps the show grow more too. And of course, toontalkweekly@gmail.com is the main email you can reach us at if you have any cartoon recommendations, some background about Billy Dilly, or maybe how you feel about Billy Dilly, because I think we like the show, maybe just weren't in love with it yet. So that was fun, man. Thanks for bringing that show. After I brought Monster Force last week, which is just weird. It's just sometimes old shows are super strange.
Yeah, but then new shows. Like, imagine, like, going back and watching if we start this podcast in 10, 20 years later and we come across Billy Dilly and we're like, "What? How is this show made? Like, what? How much drugs were you on to come up with this idea?" Like, so looking at it from, like, a current lens, you're like, "Oh, I could see how this could fit in." But if you look at it from, like, a future lens, like, no, that's just wrong. Like, I can't believe they thought this was a good idea.
Yeah. I thought you were going a different direction with that, which was going to be to say, what if you go back to, like, the 80s or 90s, let's say 90s, when Nicktoons like Hey Arnold and Angry Beavers and, like, those are on, but also Billy Dilly is in that lineup, and you're like, what? Who?
Yeah.
We should do. Yeah, that's a fun experiment. Like, construct the worst lineup of a mixed, like, a bag of cartoons that would make you question what is going on between each show. You know, just like, here's an 80s banger, like G.I. Joe type show, and then here's a weird modern cartoon, and then some silent French cry. I don't know, whatever.
I don't know, but Odd Real Monsters after Hey Arnold, you know, that show is pretty weird and kind of gross, so maybe Billy Dilly fits.
Yeah, it's almost like we're back on the track. I don't, maybe it never went away, but like a lot of those early Nicktoons were more focused on like kids or people, and then you get like Odd Real Monsters, Angry Beavers, and several others that are not, they're animals doing things. Now we're like full circle where I feel like it's the shows that people talk about are human things, the Rick and Morty's, the Adventure Times, the, well, I guess he's a human, but there's lots of weird stuff in Adventure Time. You know, the Uncle Grandpas, the Billy Dillys. They're all people.
No one's talking about Billy Dilly.
Well, we are, and we just did. So that's going to do it for this week's episode of Toon Talk Weekly. Thank you all so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another cartoon.
Take care.
To learn more about the show, visit toontalkweekly.com or follow us on Twitter @ToonTalkWeekly. Thank you.